It is a joy to be with you tonight. Amen. And enjoyed the music, the fellowship tonight, and enjoyed the service this morning. And then the pastor, he took us out and fed us real good, so that was good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and worship you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we'll get started on the message in a moment. I want to wait on the Lord just a minute here and let me see, because a while ago I saw something in the Spirit, but I may or may not flow in it right now. I'll just wait till later. But always connect, make that spiritual connection with your spirit, because the Lord lives in your spirit. He lives on the inside of you, and He guides us and directs us through our spirit. Thank you, Lord. We do praise you and worship you. We give you glory and praise. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and worship you, Lord. Don't want anybody to miss the miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I ran up someone not long ago. He came up to me and said, he told me what he had. And the Lord, we prayed for him. The Lord performed that miracle in his life. And I was good to hear the testimony. It's good to hear, get feedback sometimes, you know, and we just praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalms 91. I have a real simple message tonight. Nothing that you don't know, nothing that your pastor hadn't preached, or Jim, or Brother Lewis, or any of the ministers in this church, but I want to bring out what the Lord has in my heart tonight, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. And what I want to do is just mainly stir you up tonight, and stir you up in your own knowledge and in your own faith, and to bring that stir within you, to renew your faith within you. You know, Peter talked about stirring up the gifts of the Spirit, stirring up those gifts within you. And if you don't, it'll lie dormant within you. The same way with your faith. You know, faith's of the heart, but you have to get it out into your problems. You got to get it out into this natural world to make it work. This morning we ministered on pride, the great deceiver. And it will deceive you, and it can cause you a lot of troubles if you don't recognize the spirit of pride trying to get in. And I had another message tonight, almost similar to that. You know, it's called Word Sparks. It's how to stay out of trouble, you know, how to stay out of strife. But I really felt led to minister on I Will Say of the Lord tonight. I'm going to minister on that. I will say of the Lord. In Psalms 91, verse 2, the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God, and in Him I will trust. I'm going to pray. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for your presence. We are so grateful for the fellowship the Lord Jesus Christ has in our lives. We're so grateful for the Holy Spirit that helps us and helps us through each and every day of our lives. And Father, we're so grateful for the Holy Spirit that He directs us. He's always there to counsel us, to give us guidance, and to help us to raise our families and to be a blessing to our friends and people around us. Father, tonight I pray the Holy Spirit would flow and minister to anyone that needs help. And if someone needs guidance, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak into their hearts. Lord, thank you for your wisdom, and we're going to praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and worship you, Lord. The psalmist David said, I will say of the Lord. It's important to say something. The psalmist David, you know, even in the Old Testament, we look back in the Old Testament, he knew something about God that most people did not know. He had a relationship with God that most people never, ever understood. And, you know, the psalmist David was under the Old Testament. We're under the New Testament. We can understand because we have more knowledge on how the Holy Spirit flows and how the Word of God works and how God flows in our lives. But the psalmist David, even then, he had a knowledge of God that most people never enter into. He said, I will say of the Lord. it's important to understand, even under that Old Testament anointing, David understood how faith worked. David understood how to get his faith out of his heart, out into his problems. You see, you have a lot of people that they don't fully understand how faith works, or how the Holy Spirit works through your faith, or how the Holy Spirit works through your faith-filled words. Now, I want to say this. See, when people get real sick or get real depressed, one of the things they do is quit saying or quit talking. They'll get real quiet. You know, when people are real depressed, you can't hardly get them to say anything. I was ministering to someone that was extremely depressed not long ago, and I couldn't get them to talk. I couldn't get them to say anything. But David understood that. He said, "I will say of the Lord." You see, it's not just saying something. He said, "I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God." See, he had a personal relationship with God. He was personally connected with God's Spirit. He had that personal connection with the Holy Spirit within him. And when he said it, he meant it. He meant what he said. "I will say of the Lord." And he's in this one scripture, he uses the word "my." He is my Lord. He says, "I will say of my Lord, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, he's my God, and in him I will trust." See, that's a strong scripture if you think about it. You know, if you read that scripture over and over again, "I will trust in God." I'm telling you, I'm going to trust in God because he's my God. He's my God. He's my God. See, that personal relationship he had with God, it's not just saying something, but it's that personal connection you make with the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You know, and I know a lot of people read the Bible, but everybody doesn't make that connection to the God of the Bible. There are a lot of people that went in the pulpit to preach today, but there was no spiritual connection between that Bible and between the people, because they don't even know God. And they're pastors, and they're leaders, and they're laymen, but they don't even know God. But the psalmist knew God. Now, and turn our Bibles to Psalms 27, verse 1. Psalms 27. While you're turning there, you see, most people are saying something. Like I heard a lady not long ago in Bojangles, I was waiting to get waited on. She says, she turned around to the people and said, "You're pulling my last nerve." See, that's what most people say. "You're pulling my last nerve," you know. And I heard another someone else say, "You're driving me crazy." You know, driving me crazy. So people are saying something. And I had heard someone not long ago, they come up to me and they says, "I'm falling apart. I'm just falling apart. Everything about me is falling apart." You see, and we can laugh at that. But the psalmist David understood the importance of saying, "I will say of the Lord, he's my strength. He's my physician. He's my healer. He's my God. He's my deliverer. He's the one that's going to guide me and direct my path. He's my God. He's the God that I look to. He's the God that I serve. He's the God that I depend on. He is my God, and in him I do trust." You see, there's a difference when you say those words and you say them out of your heart and you say them with a great conviction in your heart. In the Psalms 27, one of my favorite verses, I've loved this verse ever since when I got born again and saw that verse. Psalms 27, 1, and it's almost like Psalms 91, 2. He said, "The Lord is my light, and the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life." Now listen, he's the strength of my life. God is the very strength of my life. I draw my strength from God because the Lord is the strength of my life. I get my strength from God. I don't get it from people. I get it from God. God is the strength of my life. I get my inspiration. I get my strength from him. Now, we thank God for people, and we thank God for... I've had many, many people have been a blessing in my life and have encouraged me and prayed for me through the years, and I've listened to them and got advice from them, but my main strength comes from God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, God knows you need things. God knows you need money to pay your bills. God knows you need money to pay your car payment so you can go to work, so you can pay the taxes on your house or pay the taxes that are coming in. See, God knows you need all these things. And he said, if you seek me, all these things shall be added unto you. Now listen, the older we get, the more secure we should be in God, not the less. The more confident we should be in God, not the less. You see, a lot of people, they're fearful and afraid. They're afraid of all the things coming on the earth. What does the Bible say in the Gospels? It says that men's heart will fail them because of the fear of all the things coming on the earth. And you can see that happening today. It is a dangerous world out there. But the psalmist David said, I will say of the Lord, he is my strength, he is my God, in him I will trust. He said, I will not be afraid of men. I'm not going to be afraid of men. And David lived in a dangerous time. He's my light. He'll show me things. He'll show me. He's my light. I'll give you a good example. You know, this was a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. This only happened about 3 weeks ago. I was praying one day, and all of a sudden I saw in a word of wisdom, you know, it has to do with the future, I saw a young boy, he looked to be between 12 and 14 years of age, on a bicycle riding. And when I saw him, you know, I see a people in the Spirit like that to pray for. But when I saw him, I had a knowing in my heart it was going to be connected to my life somehow or another. But I had a bad witness about it when I saw it. I had a witness in my heart. There's something not going to be good about this. So the Bible says to watch and pray. You know, you don't get everything. You know, he'll give you a little word of knowledge, but you don't get all the knowledge that you need sometimes. So you got to keep praying and keep watching and keep waiting in the spirit realm and be on the alert. So what I did, every day I'd stay on the alert. You know, I didn't know what it was about. You know, you could be going down the road and he'd run out in front of you in your bicycle, and you know, if you're not careful, you could run over him. So I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know when it was going to happen. I didn't know, but I knew one thing. God is my light. You understand? The psalmist said, the God is my light. So I said, the Lord is my light. He'll guide me when the time comes, and he'll shine that light out, and I'll see clearly what it's about. You see, because things like that can bring a certain amount of uncertainty, and if you're not careful, it can bring fear. But I stayed connected to my spirit, so I wasn't afraid of it. But anyway, 2 weeks later, I was in my house, and to a certain extent, you sort of forget about it. You put it in the back of your mind. And I went, and it was a bright, sunny day, so I went and turned all the shades up on the house so I could see and let that light in, you know, save that electricity. Not put any money in Duke Power's pocket or Duke Energy, whatever. They're getting enough of our money as it is. And anyway, all of a sudden I looked, and I saw, this was on a Friday, when kids should be in school. I saw six boys coming down the sidewalk riding their bicycles, six of them, 1, 2, 3, I count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I saw the boy I saw in the spirit. I said, this is not good. There's something not right here. I said, so I better stay on the alert. I was in my house now. I said, well, now, how is this going to affect me? They're on the outside. I'm on the inside, you see. So you don't have all the knowledge you need. So that's the reason you walk by faith and not by sight. But I trusted the Holy Spirit would shine that light, as Psalmist David said. So about an hour later, I saw them coming back. They were coming back. And all of a sudden, I saw one of them cut through my yard, and he went into the back of my neighbor's house. He was not at home. There was no cars back there. And then all six of them went back to my neighbor's house, and then they run up to the door going to break into his house. And I ran out and run them off. You see, run them off. Saved my neighbor from his house being broken into. You see, because of a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? If I hadn't been at home, they'd tried to break into my house. But see, I bound up that spirit and I drove that devil off and all the other five devils with him, you know. Now, I prayed for him. Here we are. We got some boys, all of them between the ages of 12 and 16, laying out of school on a Friday, and it was not some day off either, laying out. You see, already getting in trouble. Already. Now listen, you crawl in the wrong house, there may be somebody in there half asleep, and they get their gun out and shoot you before they see you're 12-year-old. And some people wouldn't care, now I'm telling you. But I prayed the Lord keep them and Lord help them, because we've all been young and stupid at one time, you know. I was, so I understood. But I also went out when I was going out the door, I was going to share a little bit. When I was going out the door, I heard the Holy Spirit clearly say, go out, show your presence, but don't say anything or don't take an action. So I went out and started walking their way, you know. And when I did, they saw me and said, there's, you know, and took off. All of them started taking off. And then later on, I got curious about it. And I said, now, Lord, I wanted to say something and I wanted to do something. Now, why wouldn't you let me? He said, because times have changed. See, here's where the wisdom of God comes in. You better be led by the Spirit. Years ago, if you'd told their parents what they were doing, they would have believed you as an adult. Today, they would believe their children over you as an adult. And they'd try to have you locked up and have you put in jail for mishandling their kids. You see, so you better use wisdom. That's where wisdom comes in, being guided by the Holy Spirit. Because I wanted to say something, you know. I wanted to do something, too, now I'm telling you. Old Riley Moore started to rise up in me. Grandpa Riley, you know. He's down there. I'm telling you, generational people are still living in your genes down there, you know. But he said, I will say of the Lord, he's my strength. He's my strength. Yeah, he may be Robert's strength, but he's my strength. He's the strength of my life. He'll give me the strength I need to face today. He'll give me the strength that I need to face tomorrow. He'll give me the strength I need to face next year and the year after that and the next year. And if whatever comes up against me, the Lord is the strength of my life, and he'll give me the strength to face whatever it is. And you see, that strength can be knowledge. That strength can be guidance. That strength can be a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But God is the strength of my life. And I also like, you don't have to turn there, but he said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, I shall not want. You see, God is my shepherd. You see, and he learned that personal relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit, that anointing that was upon him. He had that personal relationship. Now, you know, when David came out to carry food to his brother's house, carried food to his brothers, you know, his brothers were supposed to be out fighting Goliath in armies, but they were standing off, they were afraid, they were fearful. And Goliath was intimidating all of them. David, when he showed up, he didn't say, I wonder why the Lord won't raise up somebody to kill that giant. I wonder why the Lord won't do some manifestation to kill that giant. You know what David said? He said, the Lord will deliver that giant into my hands. I'll cut his head off and I'll feed his carcass to the birds of the air and the armies too. You see, David said, I will say of the Lord, God will deliver him into my hands. You see, when you approach a problem, when you come to a problem, you've got to have that relationship, that confidence, that knowing inside of you that the God you serve is more than enough to defeat that problem that you're facing. Whether it's sickness, whether it's finances or whatever it may be, whether it's fear, God is the strength of our lives. He is the strength of my life. God will always be the strength of my life. You know, I always say this. I'll resist the devil right on up to the very last day of my life. If I only had one more day to live and I knew I was going to die tomorrow and sickness tried to come on me, I'd resist it with everything in my mind because it's of the devil. Just because it's of the devil. You got to put up a fight, my friends. Because if you don't, the devil, he'll throw all kinds of things on you and in your life. You've got to have that same anointing, that same spirit that David had. I will say of the Lord, God is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, and God is always there. He's in there to help us. You know, the God told Joshua, he said, Joshua, be strong. You see, sometimes you have to get up and just be strong. In Ephesians, it said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So you have to get up and say to yourself, I'm going to be strong that day. You may not feel like it. You may not want to. You just may like to rather go back and lay in bed. But you got to get out and do it. So you might as well draw up that strength from God, draw up that anointing from God, get that relationship flowing, and say, I'm going to be strong today. I'm going to be strong in the Lord, and I'm going to be strong in the power of His might, because the Lord is my strength, and I'm not going to be weak. You see, when you make that spiritual connection on the inside of you, that anointing breaks the yoke of the enemy. That anointing changes your physical being. You know, people don't understand the strength of God's anointing. You know, if you look at Sarah's life, when she was about 90 years of age, and the Bible said she was past childbearing age, the Bible said she received strength to conceive a child. In other words, God was able, even at her age, to change her body back to a place where it could conceive a child. You know, that'd be like a wonder. They're having a child at her age right now, just receiving strength. She comes in and say, Jim, guess what? We're going to have a boy, Jim. We're going to have a boy. See, we got to work Wanda in on this message here, you know. But there was that spiritual connection between Sarah and God that she served. That spiritual connection between Abraham and the God he served. See, there has to be that spiritual connection between us as believers and the God we serve. And it can't be just saying it. We have to believe it. We have to draw it out of our spirit. Faith of the heart. But as long as it just stays in the heart, it'll do you no good. You've got to release it and say to yourself, I believe that my right foot is healed. I receive healing in my right foot. I receive healing in my right foot. In sickness, you can't stay in my right foot. You have to get out of my right foot, because I believe I received from the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivered it unto us as heirs of salvation. I believe I receive healing in my body. And you hold fast to that day after day after day until you change that image within yourself, until you reach out and pull that anointing from the spiritual realm into your physical body. You see, Sarah had a promise from God. Abraham had a promise from God. And as long as you have a promise from God, you can get that anointing to flow into your life. You see, now, I can't have a child at our age because I don't have a promise. I'm glad I don't, too. I am glad we don't have that promise. But we couldn't have a child because we don't have a promise from God to have a child. But I do have a promise from God that He'll meet my every needs. I have a promise from God that His anointing will break the yoke of the enemy that tries to come against my life. And I can grab hold of those promises and hold on to them. That's the reason Paul said this. He says, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, you can only do those things He leads you to do and He guides you to do through His Word and through His Spirit. But as long as God's involved in it, you can do those things. I can do all things through Christ. See, Paul knew that. He said, that I might know Him and the fellowship of His suffering, that I might know Him and the power and the glory that He had, that I might know Him. You see, it's knowing God and making that connection within you, that faith connection in your heart. Now, you know, that's what happens a lot of times, you know, when we stir the anointing, get the anointing stirred, and all of a sudden the manifestation of the Spirit start operating and people's faith, they make that spiritual connection right there. All of a sudden their faith and that anointing comes together and pow, there it is, a miracle takes place. You see, faith can create what needs to be done. You know, Jesus was always trying to get the disciples to say the right things. He taught them to speak to trees. He taught them to speak to the wind. He taught them to speak to the mountains, you know. He was always telling them to to say the right things, he says, but don't take worried thoughts saying, he said, don't take worried thoughts saying, because once you start taking these thoughts and saying these thoughts, they become a part of you. They become part of your life if you keep saying it and taking worried thoughts and keep saying it. I was at a church not long ago, and I was praying for this girl, and I saw in the spirit realm that she was oppressed in the mental realm because there was something in her life that was driving. There was a thought in her mind that was driving her. And I said, you're going to have to let it go. And here's what she said, I can't. I said, you're going to have to. She said, I can't. I said, if you want the peace of God, you're going to have to let it go. I said, because you're holding on to some thought in your mind, and that thought in your mind is holding you in bondage. She said, but I can't let it go. I said, yes, you can let it go. You see, unless you renew your mind, a mind or thoughts in your mind can hold you in bondage and hold you captive and hold you in an area all the days of your life, you see. You have to renew your mind and you have to let it go and say, yeah, I do let it go in Jesus' name. I'm going to let it go. You see, people don't realize the importance of saying the right things, speaking the right things, and saying it the right way. You see, faith comes, it comes, but it comes by hearing the right things and saying the right things. If I want faith to come from God, I've got to say what God said. But Jesus was always trying to guide the disciples the right way. He was always trying to get them to seek the Father first. Now turn your Bibles, we're going to go into the New Testament and bring witness of what we were ministering on just then, to Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. You know, the devil always wants you to shut down. You know, oppression, as I said earlier, when people get sick or depressed, one of the things they do, they either quit talking or they say the wrong things. But it's important to speak, but speak the right things, because they'll take you in the right direction you ought to go. Now, in Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, he says this, and then I'm going to read verse 6. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. In other words, live on the level of faith you're on. Don't try to live on a level you're not on. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now in verse 6 he said this, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men should do unto me. He said, so that we may boldly say. So it's important that we as believers say something. I've got to say something, but what am I going to say? He told us what to say. The Lord is my helper. He's Donald Moore's helper. He's going to help Donald Moore on Monday morning, and he's going to help Donald Moore on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and all next year and the next year after that. The Lord is my helper. And I will not be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid of men. You see, fear is a big thing in people's lives. And there's a lot to be afraid of out in that world, I can tell you that. I've gone to some places, you know, you need a machine gun and dogs around you. And you need a tank to be in going down in them areas, you know. But the Lord knows how to protect you just like he did David all of his life. David fought in hand-to-hand combat. David, he did a lot of fighting in his life. God called him a bloody man, but yet he lived his whole life out, and he lived it out because he knew how to make that connection to God, and they made that connection of his faith, and was able to keep that faith flowing in his life. He said, "So that we may boldly say, not weakly, not timid, nor half-hearted." He said that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Let's say that. The Lord is my helper. And then he said, I will not fear.
I will not fear.
Now listen, is there something you're afraid of? If you do, you need to be saying something to it. If you're afraid you're going to lose your health, you need to be saying something to your body. If you're afraid you're not going to be able to pay your bills, you need to say something to your income. If you're afraid that the devil's going to harm your loved ones, you need to say something. You need to get your faith out into this physical world. You need to get your faith out so that it'll manifest into this spiritual world, a natural world. He said, so that we may boldly say this. Now listen, the Lord said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. Now, there's two famous statements I've heard all my life. Two famous statements. I mean, ever since I went into ministry. One is, I don't know why God hasn't. And the other is, I don't know why God won't help me. There are two famous statements. But David never said that. He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. He didn't say, I wonder who's Lord going to raise up to kill that giant. He said, the Lord will help me. He'll deliver that giant into my hands, into my hands. See, he had that relationship. And if people could only receive that, see, we as New Testament believers can go deeper than the psalmist David ever did, because God sent the Holy Spirit back to the earth and put him in our lives, sent him into our life. And not only, I mean, we can know him so personal by prayer, by fellowship. We've got the written word. We have so much more than David ever did. And we can pull him up. And knowing that he'll never leave us or never forsake us. I don't care what it looks like. God is always going to be there. You can always rely on God. God will always be involved in your life as long as you want God involved in your life. Now I'm going to close with this last scripture here. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then I'm going to close out on this. You know, Joel said, let the weak say, I'm strong. So, what you want to do, you know, they were going out to battle. You know, you got to say to yourself, the Lord's going to protect me. I'm not going to be afraid, because the Lord is going to help me. The Lord is going to strengthen me. The Lord's going to give me wisdom. You know, in the battles they fought, I tell you what, boy, you needed the Lord with you. I'm telling you. If you think about it, you see some of them on History Channel, some of them battles them Roman soldiers fought with those people. I'm going to tell you, brother, I wouldn't want to be on the front line, would you? Because, brother, they were coming, brother, I'm telling you now. And they weren't coming to play either. They were coming to do some damage. But let the weak say. See, wherever you're weak at, you need to say it. Wherever you're weak at, you need to say it. Whatever fears are coming up in your life, you need to say something in those areas of your life. See, don't wait for somebody to give you an encouraging word. And we thank God for people who do. But don't wait for somebody to give you an encouraging word. Don't wait for a manifestation of the Spirit. Don't wait for you know, church time. Do it every day and do it all through the day. Do it every single day of your life. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, he said this, we, talking about us in the body of Christ, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. Now there again he puts we. We also believe, and therefore speak. See, we have the same spirit of faith that David did, that Abraham did, that all the Old Testament and New Testament saints did. Mark, John, Matthew. We have the same spirit of faith. And he said, the way you get that spirit of faith flowing is, he said, I believe, and therefore I speak. See, what you believe, you're going to have to speak. Because as long as it's just in your heart, it's not fully manifested. As long as faith's in your heart, it's not fully manifested. He said, I believe, and therefore I speak. What I believe, I have to speak. What I believe, I have to say. You have to say what you believe. You see, and what happens is a lot of people just sort of coast along and they quit saying anything after a while. You know, they'll serve the Lord, you know, in the earlier days real strong, they're really anointed, and then all of a sudden it just starts waning, it starts going down. They start getting a little more age on them, and they slow down. And your body does slow down. Mine slowed down. But one thing you cannot afford to do, and that's stop speaking your faith. You cannot stop speaking your faith. Because that is what's going to keep victory in your life. That's what's going to keep the devil from overcoming you. That's what's going to keep fear out of your life. And that's what's going to keep you safe and protected all the days of your life. You see, your faith flowing out of your heart. You see, I never wait for somebody else to do my praying. I pray for myself. Now, that's true. Years ago, I made up my mind. I'm going to do my own praying. I'm going to do my own believing. I'm going to do my own speaking. Now, I thank God when I can get with men and women of God who pray, and we pray together, and I pray for a lot of people, a lot of pray for me, but I never wait on somebody else to pray for me. I never wait for somebody else to release their faith in me. I do it every day, every day, every day, every day, from when I get up to I lay down in bed. But I'm speaking my faith all day long. Not speaking it out of fear, but speaking it out of a relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is the part I have to play. I have to believe something, and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in what He did. I believe what He did for me. I believe that Jesus Christ redeemed Donald Moore from the curse of the law, and because I believe it, I say it from my heart, and I believe what I'm saying when I say it, too. I don't just say it. You see, I will say of the Lord, He's my strength. He's my refuge. He's my God. And your faith should be growing within you and growing in your life. You see, it's something faith grows. Your relationship grows. Your anointing grows. Now, we'll always need the help of others. The Bible says, pray you one for another that you may be healed. We're labors together with God. You see, I need you, you need me, we need one another. But however, I can make my faith work for myself. And I thank God when other people join in with their faith and add their faith to my life. But I know that I know that I know within myself, I can make my own faith work. And it's important for Christians to grow to that level that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know your God, and you know how to get in contact with your God, and you know how to release your faith in God. Because I guarantee you this, before you leave this earth, you're going to need to use your faith. You will. I constantly have to use my faith about something, and then also to help others, you know, to help to minister to others and be a blessing to others. But you see, the devil's always trying to attack me anyway, try to stop me. I'm telling you, you think you have some attacks? I have some attacks. I have some real strong attacks. Because the devil don't want me spreading the gospel and praying for people and going around laying hands on people and helping people to find the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have to keep myself free so that I can minister to others the same way with you. You have to do the same thing. But I cannot afford one day. Now listen, Peter said, stay on the alert because your adversary. I cannot afford not to get up one day and not be watchful in the Spirit. I cannot afford to get up one day and be relaxed to where I'm not watching in the spirit realm and listening to the Holy Spirit, because I know the devil's just looking for one little door to just come through. If he could just find him one little door. You know what Jesus said? He said, I saw Satan fall through the earth, but he has no part or lot in me. Jesus closed all the doors. There was no doors for the devil to get to. The devil tried his best to get to him. He couldn't get to him. Then finally Jesus came and he says, I give my life a sacrifice, a ransom for all. See, he gave himself to, or the devil could have never got him. You know, even when they come to the garden, he said, I could have called a legion of angels. They would come and wiped out this whole town. Just been nobody left. I saw that in that vision when I went out with Jesus, out in the Spirit. I saw that. The Lord allowed me to see the crucifixion when I was out in the Spirit. And when he was dying on the cross, the angels were swarming around the cross like bees. I mean, like hundreds of them, just swarming around that cross like bees. And I heard one of them, he ran to an archangel and he says, why won't he give the command? Why won't he give the command? And that angel said to the other angel, I don't know. You know, the Bible says they desired to look into the things and they didn't understand it. Had he gave the command, I heard one of them say, we'll wipe this whole town out. That's where I got that from. He said, oh, we'll wipe this whole town out. They would have. They'd squished that whole town of people. Protect Jesus. But he wouldn't say nothing. Because if he'd said anything, they couldn't have crucified him. because he would have spoke faith, and faith would have kept him from going. You know, anything he said would have been of faith, and that's the reason the Bible said he kept silent. He wouldn't say anything, because when he spoke, faith flowed out of his life. And he could have rescued himself, but he didn't. He surrendered to death for us. And see, we draw from that death. We draw from that spiritual obedience that Jesus Christ yielded himself to and paid the price for. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. See, it's a fact. It's not just a promise. It's a spiritual fact. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for redemption. We thank you that we're redeemed from the curse of the law, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that that redemption is ours. We can grab hold of it and hold fast to it and cause the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest into our life. We're not worthy of it, Lord, only through our Lord Jesus Christ, but we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for divine guidance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and worship you, Father. We praise and worship you, Lord.